Welcome to Situation Report for March 3rd, Little Doobie Brothers. Listen to the music. I thought that was appropriate today, considering that everything else that you're hearing is noise. Little music would be, that was recorded back in 1972. Man, that's a whole album. Those guys are great live. So is Steve Miller. Steve Miller Band used to play literally every single year at Chateau St. Michel in Washington. I'd go every year, like as soon as And like the day after I'd go to this concert, I'd buy the next year's tickets as soon as they came on sale. And saw a lot of bands at that venue. It was great. Go outside, get tanked, Uber home, beautiful thing. But everybody's up in arms about, I don't care if he's a Scientologist, Cold Sunshine, his music's good. He could do the fucking Kabuki Theater to the sun gods. I don't care. I like his music. Everybody's freaking out about the Epstein list. I mean, my God, here's the question I have. Why did anybody expect any less? I mean, they come out with a 8x11 binder with 200 pages that's all redacted. My God, talk about looking like buffoons. They already did it to themselves. And then on top of that, they doubled down and said, well, it's the Southern District of New York that's not giving us the files. We were misled. Look, they're not going to implicate Israel. They're not going to release anything because everything leads to Israel, leads to the Jewish mafia, every bit of it. Ian Carroll was on a rant today about it, and I just had to laugh because I'm like, everybody's up in arms about Epstein. We knew that he, look, Epstein was busted the first time, I think in 2009. And then the second time in like 2010, 2011, 2012, they've had 10 plus years to get rid of stuff. And if they have all the tapes, if they have all the lists to implicate everybody, what do you think the odds are that they're going to release a videotape or anything else that implicates the Jewish mob? They're not going to do any of that. They're not going to do any of that. I don't care how much wishful thinking you have. I don't even care if you want to do the Sundance and lift your right leg, yell Buddha Fuko 10 times and fart, turn around, and then wish on a star. It's not going to happen. So why worry about it? It's just noise. It's just noise to keep you distracted from the fact that, look, Trump can't end the Ukraine war. That's the signal, is the Ukraine war. He can't end the war. That theater last week when Zelensky was in Trump's office in the White House, you know, in the Oval Office, and they had the altercation. Look, everybody's sick of the cokehead. Everybody's sick of the Europeans, the USSR. Everybody's sick of the narrative that Russia's going to take over all of Europe if we don't stop him in Ukraine. Okay, first of all, that's all horseshit. The Europeans need a war in order to wipe off all the debt that they've gotten themselves into. NATO doesn't function unless the U.S. pays for it. So no matter how much they try, it's looking more and more. And I'll give Trump 2 weeks and he'll be pulling us out of NATO. 2 weeks. And then NATO will implode. I mean, Keir Starmer comes out and says, yeah, we're going to put troops on the ground. You first. Good luck with that. It's like, okay, by the way, I finally got out of Twitter jail. And my first post after a week of Twitter jail was that Twitter can suck the farts out of my ass. And I still hold to that. They can suck the farts out of my ass as far as I'm concerned. All of those fucking dipshits down in San Francisco that are virtue signaling assholes, determining what hate speech is. And look, I got banned because I told Larry Fink to go self-eliminate. He was saying that we needed to eliminate, you know, 2/3 of the population. I'm like, you first, motherfucker, go self-eliminate. No one will miss you. No one's going to come looking for you. No one cares. Go fuck yourself. Banned. And then they give you a timer. It's bad enough that you're in Twitter jail, but every time you log in, your account has been suspended. You can only view, can't do anything else. And then when you get it within 10 minutes or no, 20 minutes, then they flash a thing on the screen saying you've been blocked for another 20 minutes. Like, you arrogant assholes. I know that already because I've been looking at this for 6 days. But now that I'm out of Twitter jail, I can respond to people. And there's a ton of these. Let me just say this to all of you Ukrainian flag posting, meme posting, retarded liberal journalists. Look, if you're so fucking worried about Ukraine, go volunteer, put on a uniform, and go fight. Otherwise, shut the fuck up. No one wants to hear you. No one. No one cares what you think. No one gives a fuck about Ukraine anymore. Nobody gives a shit about Europe. Fuck them. 3 years of this. That little short cokehead coming over here extorting American money to go over there and buy himself. He's got a $12 million mansion down in Florida. And I'm supposed to give this little shithead some more money? I don't think so. Trump did the right thing as far as I'm concerned. Go fuck yourself. And next time you come in here, you short little fuck, put on a suit or fuck off. Now get the fuck out. And that's probably how that conversation went. Why don't you have a suit on? Well, I'm fighting a war. Go fuck yourself. By the way, I need $250 million. Go fuck yourself. Now get out of here. Just like that conversation with Keir Starmer. We're going to do this. No, you're really not. Same thing with Justin Trudeau. We're going to put a 50% tariff on you. No, you're not. This is what you're going to do. You're going to turn the tariffs off. You're going to put real border security in place. You're going to kick the Chinese out of your country. And then you're going to fuck off. Now get out of my office. And don't come back until you have a fucking clue. That's literally how the conversation is going. And you know, there's been a couple of stories that Obama and Susan Rice and all the usual characters, right, were behind his demeanor. And so supposedly this 100-year deal for mineral rights, humma, humma. If you haven't figured it out, the Ukraine war is not about Ukraine. It's not about sovereignty. You have Jews flooding in there now into cities in the southern part of Ukraine. The whole thing was always about thinning the population so they could rebuild it, take a bunch of money out of that place, harvest all the natural resources, which was what the Brits do. And if you watch anything that Tom Luongo's put out in the last couple of weeks, he is literally going to tell you exactly the same thing. So that's the signal, is what happens in Ukraine. Because we are closer to nuclear war right now at this moment than we ever have been, despite what Trump wants. That's the signal. All the rest of it is all noise. Just like all this noise around Epstein. They're never going to release the list. Why? Because it goes back to Mossad. Goes back to Jewish Mafia. Goes back to Lee Wexner? Can't think of his name. It goes back to Jewish Mob. And no matter what you say, that's an act of war. I don't care how you phrase it. You could put all these little blocks around it. Lex, thank you. Yeah. Can you tell that I spent 20 minutes trying to unfuck my camera before I got online? God, what a day. It's Monday, so everything blows up on Monday. I watch all this stuff online. I just have to chuckle because it's just noise. And the noise doesn't have anything to do with reality. And if you know, the way I view Pam Bondi is she's Bill Barr too. She's another Bush plant. She was a McCain fan, a huge McCain fan. McCain was a fucking traitor. I don't know why anybody expected anything different. You know, Bill Barr was the Bush one ball licker that was put in place because he was a fixer for all the shit that they did wrong. And they, you know, did a mountain of things wrong. So I don't know why anybody's upset about it. They're not going to release any information. The only way we're going to find out the truth is to storm the FBI offices and take all the evidence, which would be a waste of time at this point. There's no there. There really isn't. There never really was. there's just more of the same. And we don't, you don't need to waste any cycles on it. I mean, what's it going to tell you that Tom Hanks is a pedophile? Everybody knows that. That the Clintons traffic children? Everybody knows that. Bill Clinton's a pedophile? Everybody knows that. I don't know why you're worried about it. The stuff that we should be paying attention to right now is the stuff that, and by the way, I had a very interesting social engineering attempt on Saturday. And I picked up the phone and this guy's like, yeah, this is Deputy so-and-so, Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. And I've got a bench warrant for you. I'm like, oh, you do you? I said, well, what's that for? He goes, well, you missed a federal court date. And I'm like, why does the county sheriff have a federal court date? Wouldn't that be a U.S. Marshal? He's like, no, they pass it down to us because the backlog's so big. I'm like, really? The backlog's so big that the federal U.S. Marshals don't go after somebody that missed a court date. And by the way, don't you think I would have got a notification for a court date? Well, you should have gotten certified mail back in January. Well, what part of January? What day? You could tell me exactly when the signature was put on that. Well, somebody signed for it. What day was that? Well, I don't have that in front of me. Well, you just said you had certified mail with my signature on it. Well, yeah, I do, sir. Well, what's the date on it? There's a date that goes with that certified mail when they show up at your door, knock on your door. And by the way, if I was summoned to go to court, don't you think somebody would serve me papers? You know, like a deputy? And I'm like, you know where I'm at? If there's a bench warrant, why don't you come to my house? In fact, the door's open. Just knock twice. But I played along. I'm like, I'll play along with this. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Well, sir, now that we made contact, we need to stay in contact. I'm like, why is that? Well, you might run. I might do that anyway. What's to blame me for hanging up the phone? Well, sir, if you hang up the phone, it becomes a criminal matter. I said, it sounds like it's already a criminal matter. Well, no, sir, it's not a criminal. It's a civil matter yet. I'm like, oh, it's a civil matter. So I missed a federal court date. I missed jury duty. And now it's a federal civil matter. Is there such a thing? Because I don't think there's such a thing. I think there's a county or a state civil matter, but I don't think there's a federal civil matter. But okay, I'll play along. What do you need me to do? Well, sir, I need you to stay on the phone. I need you to drive down the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. I go, okay, well, I'll just leave it anyway. So let me do that. Let me put in my GPS. So I figured probably, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes down there. So I put in my butcher down in Cave Creek. You know, and I'm like, I go to my butcher's office. That's like 27 minutes away, 26 minutes. I go, you know, this says I'm like 24 and a half minutes away. And just a second, it's going to switch over to Bluetooth. So I get in my car and I start driving to my butcher shop. And I'm just waiting. At what point does this guy get to the money? When does he get to the money? And then I was thinking, and then I had this horrifying thought. I'm like, wait a second. I've gone after the Maricopa County Sheriff. I've gone after the Sheriff's Office. I've gone after the politicians in Arizona. This could be legit. I doubt it. But just in case, I text my girlfriend. I'm like, hey, can you look up a federal attorney? I might be getting set up here. Just in case. And so I'm about 10 minutes down the road. And this guy's, sir, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to need you to pull over. And I'm just as I'm pulling in to get gas. And I'm like, okay, let me just do that. And I go, your time is impeccable. He's like, why is that? I go, because I need gas. And sir, you can't get gas. I'm like, well, I'll run out of gas. That would be unsafe, wouldn't it? And so we're on the phone and I'm getting gas. And he says, you know, I've got this, I didn't see it in your chart, in your file, but there's been these fees assessed. And I'm like, fees for what? He's like, well, you missed a court date, failure to appear, and there's all these fees. So I said, well, send me the documents and send me the warrant and send me the notice to appear and all that. So he sends me this document that looks like an official court document, right? Signed by a quote unquote U.S. Marshal, and there's $18,000 worth of charges. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? $18,000 worth of charges, and I'm just hearing about it? I'm like, that's not how this works. That's just not how it works. Come on, man. I said, look, I've gone along with this far because I wanted to see how you're going to get to the money. And let me ask you this there, Deputy Dog. Exactly how am I supposed to pay you? And he stammers for a second and he says, hey, you're supposed to, you know, since we have these federal kiosks, I'm like, those don't exist. What's a federal kiosk? Isn't that the courthouse? Can I just go to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and pay my fines? And so anyway, I went along with it because I wanted to see what the scam was and how to get to the money, right? And we get to the money and I tell this guy, there's no fucking way I'm paying you $6,000 or $18,000 or whatever fucking number you put out there. You're retarded. And first of all, if I had a court date, I'd have known about it already. I would have had more than enough paperwork to show up for court, let alone for jury duty, let alone for a federal system, you fucking retard. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get off the phone. I'm going to call the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. I'm going to tell them all about this scam. And literally, I hung up the phone, still at the gas station, pick up the phone. I call the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. I get the duty desk. And the guys, I said, hey, this is who I am. Just got off this call with these guys. They're trying to spoof you guys with this civil something unit. He goes, yeah, that exists. He goes, let me guess. His name was Lucas something. And his badge number is this. I'm like, yep, that's the dude. He's like, yeah, we've had 1,000 calls. I said, how many people paid the freight? He goes, about 300. And I said, what's the biggest number? He goes, about 40 grand. I'm like, God. I'm like, I played along and went to get gas. And I said, I got far enough along that I was just waiting for him to get to the number, right? To get to the cash and how I'm supposed to transfer the cash. And I said, you know, none of it added up from the word go, but, you know, I want to put it out as a public service statement, right? So there's a couple of really good scams. And I talk about social engineering all the time, right? If you're not familiar with the system, if you don't know how the system works, anytime you're in trouble with the law enforcement, right, there's going to be some kind of notification that shows up at your house, whether it's a police officer with a gun, whether it's a letter from an attorney, whether it's a letter from the county recorder, whether it's a letter from the court, anything that you have to appear, they're going to send something that's certified mail. You're going to have to sign for it, or they're going to send somebody out to serve you. So first of all, if somebody calls you and says they're deputy so-and-so, what's your badge number? Okay, what's your phone number at your desk? And then you get off the phone, go out to the web, you look up the sheriff's office, and then you call the duty desk and say, do you have this guy here? Does this person exist? 99% of the time, they won't exist. And if it's a sheriff, they're going to say, this is Sheriff so-and-so, this is what I'm calling you in regards to this. I'm like, go fuck yourself, call my lawyer, right? And the gig here is that they call you up, they throw stuff at you fast paced, so you're trying to keep up and figure out what's going on. And then they want to get you on the phone and keep you on the phone until they can get you to some place away from your house so you're too frazzled to really ask any questions. And then they throw this thing across your email, knowing you don't have two phones on you. Some of you might. And then they say, well, if you hang up the phone, it's going to be a criminal matter. I'm like, yeah, go fuck yourself. I'm not paying you any money, fuck stick. I said, I'm not that stupid. Anyway, you always want to ask the question, right? Your bank will never call you. Your bank's going to send you a letter. And if you're compromised, they're going to send you a letter. They're going to tell you when the compromise occurred. They're not going to tell you what information was lost. They're going to tell you a compromise occurred and your information was compromised. That's the extent of it. And then they're going to say, we'll offer you credit protection, whatever. In a scam like this, and this isn't the only sophisticated scam I've seen. There's been other sophisticated scams. The one that I was talking to, by the way, I talked to that on-duty deputy for probably an hour on the phone. We were cracking each other up because I said, you know, for a second there, I thought I was getting rolled up because I've gone after everybody. He goes, oh, don't feel bad, sir. We go after everybody too. We can't stand the politicians in the state. I said, okay, good. We're on the same page. And he said that there's been a lot of scams. There's been banking scams where they call. And this is the one I've seen too. They call you up. They tell you that it's your bank. And they even spoofed my bank's number. So it came across as my bank. And like literally, I got a text message that said there's fraudulent charges. And then the phone rang and it was my bank spoofed number. They went through the exact script the bank would go through. And then they asked me, you know, which bank account? And I'm like, shouldn't you know that? He's like, well, sir, we need to verify the bank account number. I'm like, I'm sure you do. But you have the bank account number in front of you, and the last four are these last four numbers. Do you have that number? No, sir, we don't. Well, you're full of shit. Go fuck yourself. But how many people think that far ahead in the heat of the moment? How many people stop and think, wait a minute, why is the bank asking me for my account number? Your bank will never ask you for an account number. They will never ask you to verify an account number on the phone. They will never ask you to verify a credit card number on the phone. They will only ask you for the last four digits because they got the rest in front of them. And look, there's been so many compromises in the last several years that I guarantee you that some or part of your information has been compromised somewhere. So they at least have your name and your address and your phone number. Sometimes they may have your birth date. Sometimes they may have your social security number and no name associated with it. You never know. But the point is, it was a very sophisticated attack for the layman. And, you know, had I not had my wits about me, I probably would have been, you know, too far down the road to really ask questions, right? Because when somebody calls you from law enforcement, you know, the hair on your neck stands up because you're like, holy fuck, this is bad. And then you realize, wait, that's not how the game's played. And I know that because I, you know, I lived with a crazy person that called the police all the time. And I know exactly what that looks like. So when you deal with that system, and most of us don't deal with that system, you automatically assume the worst and you don't ask questions. Look, here's a rule of thumb. If anybody from law enforcement calls you and wants to talk to you about something or tell you to come in, your first answer is go fuck yourself, call my lawyer. Because they can't, you have a right to remain silent. You have a right to an attorney. Use it. Their job is to talk you into the back of the car. That's their fucking job. And they're all manipulative fucks, all of them. Every cop I know is a major manipulator. All of them. They have to be. So the point is, always ask the question, who the fuck are you? Why the fuck are you calling me? And that's not how this works. Where's the paperwork? Because most of the time, they're not expecting you to trip up their script. Some of them are good on the fly, but most of them aren't. They want to keep the initiative on their foot, not on yours. And, you know, the thing with social engineering is they want to establish some kind of rapport so they can get you to relax. They want to, you know, so they call you, they instill the fear, and then they want to try and build a rapport with you. So you just go along with them like you're cooperating. And most people do that because they don't know any better. If you know how the system's supposed to work, if you know how they're going to approach you, if you know how your bank communicates with you, then start with that premise and start working backwards. And I could tell you that the number of, like, every day I get text messages from some Chinese spy down in Los Angeles. Hi, this is Lily. Send nudes. You don't remember me? No, I don't remember your clothes. I'm going to need to see you nude. It throws them off every time. But I get those all the time. I get, you know, restricted phone calls all the time. And it's because my information's out there, right? The Office of Personnel Management got hacked. The background check, people can't remember their fucking name. They got hacked. So my information's out there. And I've dealt with several credit card compromises just in the last few years. So the enemy is active. And this is indicative of an environment that I think is going to get worse. Because I've never seen this level of attack in all my years of doing this. I've never seen the pace and the tempo of this. It's like every week there's some new attack. Every week there's some new malware. There's some new compromise. And it's been only increasing in pace. And Alex Jones did a show today. I didn't listen to it. I only listened to part of it, where he's convinced that there's going to be a cyber attack on the banking system. I concur. I think there's going to be some kind of a cyber event. against critical infrastructure and probably the banking system. Now, I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it's sure they're sure building the narrative. After watching the rest of Zero Day, I'm convinced that that's predictive programming. Not for, and they touched on every fucking narrative that you could think of, right? The domestic terrorist thing. They were zeroing in on the domestic terrorist thing. But here's the thing with domestic terrorism. It's a myth. It's a facade that was created by the CIA to justify doing dirty deeds here in the US. There's no such thing as a domestic fucking terrorist. Those guys don't exist. They never existed. Ruby Ridge, Waco, that's all narrative. It was all bullshit. And they keep trying to push a narrative the Americans don't buy because they know it's bullshit. They didn't buy the communist narrative. Why? Because nobody wants to be a communist. So they wrapped all this into the movie. It was almost conciliatory in ways. Yeah, we know we went too far. We have to do the right thing. The right thing includes, you know, at the end, he turned in his daughter or told her to turn herself in, blah, 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 and lost his wife over it. You know, had to admit that he had an illegitimate child, Hamahama. First of all, it's Robert De Niro. He's a fucking short little dick. I don't know why they cast that little shithead. It was a major fuck you to Trump. And the premise of the story, spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil the whole show, mainly because it was that bad. But there were so many narratives throughout, laced throughout it. But the story of the show is that there was a zero-day attack that was precipitated by the tech bros and by the war hawks in Congress so they could reset the country and drive everybody back to the right place, whatever the fuck that even looks like. And it was a group of senators, and they took the country full stop for 60 seconds, caused a bunch of fatalities, train wrecks, hamahama. And they were using AM radios. Does that sound familiar? Long-range AM radios to communicate using code. Boy, that sure sounds like they're going after the prepper community, doesn't it? But the gist of the movie is a disruption, not a meltdown of the grid and disruption of communication, cell phones, etc. I fully anticipate that happening and chaos. And the piece that I can't put together yet is the piece with the military age males, because they're still here. They haven't rolled up everybody. And it's in the millions that we have them here. So here's what I wanted to say tonight. If you lose comms for more than an hour, and I'm not just talking about your cell phone, your internet, and the power's off, or the power's on and everything else is off, have a firearm with you, because that means that whatever's going on is an attack, and my guess is it's going to be spread across the entire country, or at least enough of the country to cause enough disruption and chaos. Because the other piece of this that I think they're going to go after is the financial side of the house. The Europeans are on the verge of collapse, so are the Chinese. They need to collapse the U.S. economy. And look, what's going on in the background right now is not the Epstein stuff. They don't care about that. They don't care about the vaccines. They don't care about Epstein. They don't care about anything going on in Ukraine. What they care about is the financial system. And if Luongo's right, they're in a pissing contest between the Europeans and the U.S. This ends in gunfire. This ends in kinetic at some point. And the closer we get to collapse, the more dangerous the situation is. The more closer Europe gets to collapse, then the more dangerous becomes for nuclear war. Because these people will burn down the whole system to save themselves. Remember, they all have bunkers. They can go live in a hole. Not that I would live in a fucking hole, but they can. And the only good thing right now is that Xi and Trump and Putin realize that it's in everyone's interest for Europe to collapse. And it's in everyone's interest for the European span of control to be limited. And I think, despite all of that, that's where the focus is right now, is on the economic side. Because Trump came out and made that stupid statement about crypto this weekend, and it blew up the crypto markets. And then he had to retrace it, add Bitcoin and something else. I mean, the messaging coming out of the Trump camp is terrible. First of all, I'm not a Bitcoin guy. I'm not a crypto guy. Here's where I'm at with crypto. And I know all you crypto guys are going to say, well, there's value, blah, blah. I don't invest anything I can't touch. I'm old school. I'm going to throw money at things that are tangible, things I can touch. Back today, I was a few minutes late because I was talking to a guy about a Beechcraft that he's trying to unload. It's got a brand new engine, new avionics. Fuck yeah. I'll take it off your hands, pal. Because I know when the chips are down, that's a tangible asset. And it's not going to lose value. It's going to gain value. Once the digits are gone, oh, wait, it's just a ones and zero, one and zero anyway. Doesn't mean anything, not backed by anything. So that's where I'm at with crypto. So the whole crypto conversation to me is just noise. The gold conversation, that's tangible. The value-based assets, that's tangible. What are they doing with it? Where's it coming from? Now, all of those things are the things I'm paying attention to. I'm not paying attention to the rest of it. Now, Matt Bracken had a post this morning that I commented on and reposted because, again, you know, I've been talking to E.M. Burlingame. I've been talking to Bracken. I've been talking to the guys in the group. And I love having these guys around me because they all make me think of different aspects and different lanes. So one of the things I'm trying to put into doctrine right now in the prepper side of the house, in the preparedness side of the house, is drones. How many of you have drones? I have one or two, but I haven't used them forever. And I would probably imagine that most people haven't used their drones in a lifetime. And I've got a brand new one here, but drones are going to be a part of the next conflict. They already are. So we need to add drones to our book of tactics when it comes to being prepared. We also need to add cyber defense and information warfare, because all those play a factor. And J-Rod sent me an article today about how Christ defeated the propaganda from the pharaohs and from the Romans. And he did it by engagement, direct engagement. And when I go back to my time in Iraq, actually doing information warfare, I can tell you the most effective thing that we did all week long was direct engagement with civilians. Go out, meet people, go out, talk to people, go out and interact with people. Actively listen, but communicate and show them that you're human. You know, when you drive by in a truck with a bunch of guns, they don't see you as a human being. When you stop and talk to them, they see you as a human being, and it cuts through all the bullshit. That's why I've been saying for so long, expand your sphere of influence and your line of sight. Make human connections, because those human connections break the propaganda. Not in every case, but in most cases. And I can tell you that if people turned off their TV and their phone and internet for a week, they would be completely calm and they would be in a different world. And I challenge everybody to do that, because they want you addicted to the news cycle, so you're looking at the next big thing. And, you know, this social scoring system that I've been talking about, everybody says it doesn't exist. Yes, it does. It exists in China. It's not a quota. You don't have a social score, but they have mechanisms and technical controls in place where they could turn you off if they think you're a threat to the regime. And that's what they're trying to put in place here, a technocracy. And they're slowly but surely doing it in the background. And now there's all these articles about, you know, AI will never be sentient. It will never be intelligent, blah, 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 whatever. I'm not worried about that right now. What I'm worried about is some kind of a cyber disruption followed by kinetic or worse. I'm not worried about the rest of that. And I would like to see, you know, some common sense in the news cycle, but it's just more of the same Kabuki theater. On that vein, I gave Sharita admin access to my Telegram channel so she could post her shows on my Telegram channel. And I'll probably do the same with Mike Ferris so he could post stuff up on channel too, just so we could get the word out. And I'm doing that for a couple of reasons. One, the enemy uses numerology. They plan all their attacks. They plan all of their events. Everything's planned around the satanic part of numerology. Now, she doesn't go into that. That's not her shtick, but she does understand. She does put out what's showing in the numerology charts. And look, she's tried to explain to me. I tried to understand it for, you know, over a year and a half now. I still don't get it. Still to this day, don't get it. Just not my wheelhouse. But we need to understand how the enemy operates. We need to understand how the enemy plans. Once we can understand how the enemy plans, we can get ahead of them. It's the superstitious Christian retards that drive me fucking crazy when I talk about this. Because the first thing they say, oh, it's satanic. Like, you've been programmed to believe that. 90% of the fucking world uses numerology, and they don't have a qualm about it. But it's the Christian zealots that get in the fucking way of themselves and lose their goddamn mind every time I talk about this. Just because you understand something doesn't mean believe it. Like, I understand how communism works. I understand how propaganda works. I understand how Scientology works. I understand how fucking Mormonism works. Doesn't mean I believe it, but I understand it. For fuck's sake, get over yourselves. If you want to beat the enemy, you have to understand how the enemy shoots, moves, and communicates. Otherwise, you can't disrupt them. You can't defeat them. Get over yourselves. My God. Ugh. Nonsense. And it wastes a whole bunch of time. And you can quote me all the fucking Bible verses you want. It's not going to change the fact that our enemy used this. And until we get a handle on how they do it, on how they plan, on how they pick dates, on how they pick events, we're going to continue to be behind and not have the initiative. We need to take the initiative back and start disrupting their events before they can pull them off. That's the game plan. It's always been the game plan. We're always a day late and a dollar short. And it's because the enemy has a system that we've been told and is forbidden to understand. It's retarded. And I'm at the point where anybody that wants to argue with me, I'm blocking your ass. I'm done listening to your shit. Your shit's tired and retarded. You're superstitious. I get it. It doesn't match your value system. I fucking get it. Go argue with fucking Billy Graham if you want. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing, trying to understand my enemy while you go and fucking left-handed, right-handed masturbation about what's right and wrong. By then, it'll be too late anyway. The point of the exercise here is simply that we have to get ahead of the enemy. And if there's a way to help people understand how it's all put together, great. That's what I'm trying to do. And, you know, Mike Ferris is trying to do this as a business. He's trying to do this as an occupation, and he's got a lot of good, I can't keep up with him. And so I think it's easier if I just let him post right to my channel so you can see the latest stuff he's putting out in addition to what's on Twitter. And I'm happy to do that for both of them because they're good people. And on a different note, I did end up selling that 6.5 Creedmoor. And I did end up selling one of the 308s I have. I still have, somebody asked me today what I still have. I still have a 308 that's it was a builder kit. I'll post pictures of it on Republic Armament. I still have a 308 and I got two 5.56 pistols. and I still have an M17. So, and I'm looking to blow out those 5.56 pistols, you know, if I don't throw one in the trunk of my car. One has an optic on it. I put a Sig Bravo red dot optic on it. And yeah, that one's, they're both Aero Precision. Or actually, all three of them are Aeros. So, and then I've got a Remington 870 tactical shotgun that I forgot I had. So, yeah, that's what I have. But at the end of the day, if you're interested, just reach out to me through sales@republicarmament.com. You can get a hold of me that way. So, but if you haven't watched Mike's interview with Burlingame from last week, you should. If you haven't watched the Tom Luongo, and so Tom Luongo and Martin Armstrong and Alex Craner did an interview today on Twitter, and I think it comes out tomorrow. You should watch that as well. And then I think Bracken did one. I want to say he did one yesterday where he talks about drones. I'll go look it up. I can't remember exactly when he did it. But drones are going to be a part of our culture now, regardless of what we want or what we think. So get ahead of the curve. And if you don't have one, learn how to operate them. What we really need to do is figure out how to overwhelm them with RF so they go stupid. That's the next thing, is figure out EMF, you know, EMP them via too much EMF. MOUSE. A lot of acronyms there. But I'm not concerned about electromagnetic pulse. To do that, I there's just too many variables to that. I don't see that happening. But I do see a major cyber event where they take down power grids. It does, you know, one of the things that we learned last year, and Seth said this on the show, I've said this a bunch of times, it doesn't take a lot to disrupt the entire country. You disrupt one or two FAA systems and you disrupt the whole network. You disrupt one or two train switches, you disrupt the whole system. And you disrupt SCADA systems. SCADA system controls valves and conduits for electrical and for water. You can do a lot of damage by turning off a SCADA system. And it doesn't take any time at all to do that. But it'll take months to recover from that. And I fully well see them doing something like that and blaming it on either terrorist group. But I think they've figured out that the whole terrorist thing isn't going to sell now. So they'll, and the domestic terrorist isn't going to sell. So they'll blame it on somebody else, China or, you know, some extremist. But they'll try and blame it on somebody. Look, whatever they do isn't going to sell because nobody trusts the government. And I said last week, and it bears repeating, Trump's created an existential crisis for himself. And I don't think they know how to get out of it. Because he's doubled down on Israel. He's doubled down on releasing information. And I don't know if you guys remember the last time he was in office. The last time in office, he said he was going to release this information, and at the 11th hour, he didn't. So I don't know anybody expect anything different. But he's created an existential crisis because he opened his mouth and committed to that. And this 200-page release in the binders is not a release, and everybody's saying that. So all he's done, all they've done in the administration is create more backlash. But most importantly, they've created more distrust. And that distrust is going to grow the longer this goes. It doesn't matter how many excuses that Pam Bondi makes. It doesn't matter how many excuses that Trump makes. The longer this goes, the more distrust is going to build. And look, Kash Patel gets a break. The guy's been there maybe, what, not even a week yet? I mean, she's been there a couple weeks more than him, but they still have to fire a bunch of people. And from what I understand from somebody in the system, they're not firing managers and senior leaders yet. They haven't fired any SESs yet. They're firing all the lower tiers, the GSs. So there's still a lot of work to be done. Just like they have to fire all these FBI leadership and FBI agents and all these different field offices, that's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time to do that. And 1 week in the office is not going to give Cash enough time to do that. So I'm cutting the guy a lot of slack. I'm even cutting Pam Bondi some slack. But she was the AG in Florida when Epstein got rolled up the first time. He knows where the bodies are buried. Saw all that evidence. So you can't tell me she doesn't know. Just like you can't tell me she doesn't understand what the whole system has collected on him. And look, there are probably a bunch of insurgents in the system that are trying to disrupt and obfuscate, if not downright destroy evidence. I'm sure all of those things are true and happening. Just like the rumor last week, a bunch of general officers were rolled up by the FBI for destroying evidence. Not sure I believe any of that. But that said, anything's possible. But how would the FBI get into DOD, into the Pentagon, especially at night? I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. It would be CID or somebody within the criminal investigation division that would be rolling people up in the middle of the night. But that would be very, very far-fetched, given the fact that they would have to go through a general officer to get authorization to go arrest general officers. So if it was the FBI, it would have taken a huge amount of coordination. And maybe Hegseth did allow the FBI to come in and arrest those guys. I don't know. But I'm not worried about it right now, because I know this is going to take 3 to 6 months to get rid of all the dead weight. It's not going to happen overnight. That's why I'm saying that part of this Epstein stuff is just this noise and subterfuge, because they haven't been in place long enough to really find where all of the information is really residing. And look, the FBI took cases and cases of tapes and documents off of Epstein's island and out of every one of his properties. Someone knows where that information is. And this behavior is indicative of the fact that they know, they finally realize, holy shit, all roads lead back to Israel. And, you know, the three-letter agencies. So don't get your hopes up. And I posted as much on Saturday on Substack, because I knew as the noise was growing and the anger and hate and discontent was growing, that it was just a matter of time before people would manipulate the public and keep people completely distracted. And they're doing a swimming job at it right now. So, and then the other thing that happened today, which I think most people missed. So about 5 miles away from my house is one of the biggest Taiwan semiconductor plants in the U.S. They are building like 5 more here in Arizona. They announced today, Taiwan Semiconductor announced today, that they're going to build 5 plants here in Arizona. This could be thousands of jobs here. So I can tell you this, folks, Trump's trying to bring investment back in the country, and he's focused. I think all roads lead to the economy and to the strength of the dollar. And if all things play out, then I would, if I were an American citizen right now, I would be looking at some kind of an SBA loan to go and do some kind of manufacturing in this country. Because I think those floodgates are going to open, and they're going to loosen the restrictions on OSHA, if not to just eradicate a lot of them. He's already opened up the national forest for logging. He's already opened up the offshore resources for drilling, for oil and energy. He's already making all of those major moves to allow the country to come back and bring manufacturing onshore. If I was younger, I would probably go get an SBA loan and start some kind of a manufacturing company, not in firearms, but definitely in, aluminum. I think aluminum is going to come back. Steel production is going to come back here. And I think other minerals that we source out of the ground. And I don't be surprised if Trump does not nationalize some of the mineral rights in this country that are strategic for us. He's already hinted he's going to do that. And remember, the fucking Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas, and Carter all sold mineral rights in this country to overseas investors, specifically China, Russia, and other oligarchs around the world. Uranium One thing has not gone away. And I would rather imagine that Trump will nationalize all strategic minerals or resources for the federal government. The other thing that was hinted at today, which I don't think made it to mainstream, is I don't know if everybody knows what thorium is, but supposedly thorium can have the same fusion reaction or fission reaction as uranium, but it doesn't have the waste and it doesn't have the half-life with the radiation. I don't know how true that is, but I was having a conversation with somebody today about thorium, and they're like, yeah, thorium's going to be the next power source. I'm like, well, where is it? Who has it? How much of it? So I'm going to dig into that one over the weekend, but I've heard a couple of different alternative energy sources already that's not lithium. And I expect Tesla and lithium batteries to go by the wayside within 5 years. I think they're positioning Elon Musk to take over and use Starlink and do the space thing and deprecate Tesla and give him a replacement income source because he was quote unquote loyal to Trump, whatever. And I've listened to his interviews about, you know, this is why I doubled down, blah, blah, blah. Like I said, they've created an existential crisis. I don't think they're going to be able to get out of it because the public mood is already very, very suspect and cynical towards anything bureaucratic or government related. And every time they don't follow through, it's just going to create more hate and discontent. So, I mean, there's a number of things that are going to happen in the next couple of weeks that I think are going to be both positive and detrimental to Trump. The real bellwether is going to be what is he going to do for the economy? And the question of the day that everybody wants to know is there a digital currency or a digital dollar out there in the wings? I would say, yes, there is. So I think we're going to have some kind of a digital currency. What it's going to be backed by, I don't know, but I know that's on the radar. Now, the last piece I want to talk through, because I know everybody's chomping at the bit to talk through RFK and his announcement about measles and his announcement about pausing the vaccines. I'm cautiously optimistic that he's going to start making announcements and doing things to block the big pharma crew. But he's only been there a week or maybe two. Give the guy a chance to get his feet under him and get rid of the dead weight. I know he's going to gut the FDA. I know he is. And I know he's going to gut the USDA. So let him do that. And let's see where this goes. Let's see what they do. But you got to give him some runway to do things. I mean, 2 weeks out of the gate, it's not enough time to do shit in the federal government. I can tell you it's incredibly hard to do anything in a week or two in the federal government. And I'll give you a perfect example. I have a federal customer right now. And every other year, you have to do an authorization to operate, an ATO, which means if you're a contractor for the federal government, they have to certify that you're secure and that you meet all their security requirements under NIST, whatever the mechanism is, whatever NIST number that you're aligning to. And then they have to review all of your information that the auditors provide, and then they sign off on the ATO. That process was done back in October. The ATO should have been signed in January. We're not going to see the ATO until the end of March. And that's because they're too busy. So that should tell you how long it takes to do anything in the federal government. There is no sense of urgency whatsoever. And with all of the disruptions and all of the, let's just say, all of the different layoffs. I don't think anytime soon there's going to be a real release of information, because the other side of that too, which people don't understand, is people have that most of that information has been redacted. So you have to go unredact that information and curate it. Somebody has to spend the time, or AI has to spend the time curating all that information. That takes time too. And even if they did it tomorrow, we're talking about thousands of pages of information. And I mean thousands of pages. To unredact all of it, release all of it, is still going to take time. Even if it's a week or 2 weeks for AI to do it, it's still going to take time. So let's give them time to do what they're doing and see which way this goes. Look, I'm thankful for two things right now. Number one, Trump has pulled us out of Ukraine. He's pulling all of our forces out of Poland. He's pulling a big bulk of our forces out of Europe. He's not funding any more of the Ukraine war. He's not sending more money overseas. He stopped the flow of money into all these different revenue streams for the left and the elite across the planet. I'm thankful for that, because it gives us runway to get our feet under us and to start pivoting the country in the right direction. Whether his loyalties are with the US or not, I don't care. I'm thankful for the runway. I'm thankful for the opportunity to live another day in peace. Because if some of the things come to fruition that I'm seeing that are narratives building in the background, it's going to be a very turbulent summer. And I am thankful that we don't have to be in it right now. Every day we're not in conflict is a good fucking day. Trust me when I say that. Every day that I was in theater and there wasn't 70 or 80 mortar rounds landing on our fucking heads, it was a great day. Every day there wasn't a casualty, great day. So be thankful that we're not in that right now. And he's got enough fortitude to focus the country in the right direction. And all the other noise, it'll level itself out. And most importantly, the truth is going to come out anyway, regardless. Because I guarantee you, one of those victims, if not more, has a tape, has a letter, has an email, has a string of all of them. And it will reach the public eye. Because the one thing that's different right now that we didn't have before is we have somewhat control of alternative media. So the truth will get out there in some way, shape, or form, despite their best efforts to censor it. It will get out. And I'm also looking at new platforms coming online. As new platforms come online, you're going to see more and more information coming out. Because from what I understand, a buddy of mine at DHS was telling me that whistleblowers are coming out of the fucking woodwork right now, talking about all the malfeasance, all the money laundering, all the crimes that the FBI committed and members of the FBI. You'll see them rolled up. They're going to roll those people up. But look, Cash has to, he's got, just like Bondi, they have to tote the line politically. Because you can't start, throwing people under the bus if you want to prosecute them. You got to let them think that everything's fine, and then you roll them up and you put them through the process. All that stuff takes time. None of it happens overnight. There's no such thing as a zero-sum deal in the law, in the justice system. God, those wheels grind ever so slowly. So focus on the shit that matters right now. Make human connections. Spend time with the people you care about. Increase your line of sight. Build your sphere of influence. All those things still matter. They haven't stopped mattering. And live your life. But I would tell you, be armed and have a bag ready to go with you wherever you are. And the last thing I'll say is, if shit does kick off, don't fucking panic. Get your wits about you and start making decisions. Deep survival. I'll be back on Thursday, probably at the same time. Not sure if we're doing a roundtable or not. I'm not sure what the guys are doing. But if they're all around Thursday, we'll do a roundtable. And I may have Burlingame jump on. I may have Bracken jump on if he's available. We'll see. But until then, live your life. God bless. One team, one fight.